Hey, Jared Morris here. If you know anything about Rainmaker Digital and Copyblogger, you may know that we produce incredible live events. Well, some would say that we produce incredible live events as an excuse to throw great parties, but that's another story. We've got another one coming up this October in Denver. It's called Digital Commerce Summit, and it is entirely focused on giving you the smartest ways to create and sell digital products and services. You can find out more at rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit. We'll be talking about Digital Commerce Summit in more detail as it gets closer. But for now, I'd like to let a few attendees from our past events speak for us.
For me, it's just hearing from the experts. I mean, this is my first industry event, so it's awesome to learn new stuff and also get confirmation that we're not doing it completely wrong where I work.
The best part of the conference for me is being able to mingle with people and realize that you have connections with everyone here. It feels like LinkedIn Live. I also love the parties after each day, being able to talk to the speakers, talk to other people over here. First time, people have been here before.
I think the best part of the conference for me is understanding how I can service my customers a little more easily. Seeing all the different facets and components of various enterprises then helps me pick the best tools.
Hey, we agree. One of the biggest reasons we host a conference every year is so that we can learn how to service our customers, people like you, more easily. And here are just a few more words from folks who have come to our past live events.
It's really fun. I think it's a great mix of beginner information and advanced information, so I'm really learning a lot and having a lot of fun.
Conference is great, especially because it's a single track conference where you don't get distracted by like which session should I go to and am I missing something.
I mean, the training and everything, the speakers have been awesome, but I think the coolest aspect for me has been connecting with both people who are putting it on and then the other attendees.
So that's it for now. There's a lot more to come on Digital Commerce Summit, and I really hope to see you there in October. Again, to get all the details and the very best deal on tickets, head over to rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit.
Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. If you are a loyal listener, you'll notice right away that I am not Sonia Simone. My name is Pamela Wilson, and I'm the Executive Vice President of Educational Content at Rainmaker Digital. Sonia asked me to sit in for her this month, and today I'm here with my colleague Stephanie Flaxman, the Editor-in-Chief for Rainmaker Digital. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Pamela. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to get started with this topic that we're going to talk about because it just makes such a difference if people can get this piece of their content right. So for listeners, if you've heard this podcast before, you know that Sonia always says, I hang out with the folks who do the real work over on the Copyblogger blog. Well, guess what? We are the folks who do the real work over on the Copyblogger blog. Stephanie and I manage the blog. Stephanie, you're really the one who's on the front lines. You're doing the bulk of the work, but we work together on the content that we put together. So, And we're going to talk about headlines today. This is something that you and I are both passionate about. We have lots of email and Slack conversations about headlines that we're editing. It tends to be something that we change a lot in our content, and we are just passionate about creating these headlines that are very clickable and that are kind of irresistible. It's what we're known for on Copyblogger, so you and I spend a lot of time on it. I think it's going to be a great episode. Are you ready to dive right in?
I'm so ready. Passionate is the nice word because it's like serious headline nerdery. So
yes.
I'm also very excited because we just love this topic.
It just makes such a difference because I think it's sort of where the relationship with the reader begins.
Mm-hmm.
It's that opening bang that you can make that will attract attention from them and hopefully extend the reach of your content, motivate people to dive in and start reading. And the thing about it is, we all know that content marketing is a smart thing to use to promote your business, But content marketing doesn't actually work if people don't find your content and read it and take action. And headlines are one of the things that make a difference. They make people want to dive in and consume.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's no different than news headlines, really. You know, in content marketing for a business, it's not, you know, breaking news in the world or your city or anything like that. But it's that same idea of how do you immediately communicate in a clear way to who you want to speak to. And I always, whenever I'm on with Sonia, I always make this disclaimer that I'm going to probably bring up a lot of copy blogger posts as to, for reference, because that's like what I look at all day long. And so I am already like stewing with, ooh, I could talk about that post and this post and things like that. So we have show notes for Copy Blogger FM. But if anyone wants to write down, I will probably be mentioning the headlines of certain posts as, you know, as we talk about examples.
As illustrations, like I think that's a great idea. And you, I always tell you, you're like the walking encyclopedia of all the copy blogger content, because Stephanie is one of those people that you can just say, didn't we have a post like 4 years ago? And she can come up with it in about 15 seconds. So, but I love what you just said, and I think this is so important. And I don't know that people talk about it enough. The fact that a headline not only helps your content to get the click and to get read, but if it's working right, your headline will actually attract the audience that you want to attract to your content. And that's important, because I think when there is a match between the reader and the content that you are serving up, that's when things start to get really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And my first example, because this is exactly what I was thinking about, was a post that will have been published recently on Copyblogger at the time when this podcast episode goes live, is called Three Smart Moves That Supercharge Sales Funnels with Content. And I won't give away the whole post there, but one of the main points is attracting the right people to your content. And headlines are really powerful for that. You could have an amazing headline that you think would have, you know, just attract a wide variety of people, which is great. You know, there is a time and a place for attracting attention. But if you attract a lot of attention, but none of those people are actually interested in what you sell, if they're not interested in the rest of the content you produce, because it's, you know, this one viral post, or I don't like the word viral, but this one, you know, post with a broad appeal, doesn't apply to who you're actually selling to, you know, the results will fizzle out. Having a focused outlook, on when you're crafting headlines, to who you're speaking to is where you want to go with that, for, you know, for your business, rather than what's going to make everybody like what I'm writing.
Exactly right. It's not about making everyone like your content. It's about making the right people like your content. Mm-hmm. And I love that you brought up sales, because I do think that's an important thing to think about when you're writing a headline. When you write a headline, it is not a time to be shy. I think you have to get comfortable adopting maybe a little more of a salesy tone to the copy that you're writing, because honestly, that headline is out there in the world advocating for your piece of content. It really is selling the piece of content that you wrote. And as long as your content is excellent, you should not feel embarrassed about giving it the best possible chance to be discovered by taking the time to write a headline that really has impact and makes people want to click. So let's talk about kind of some do's and don'ts, so that people, hopefully they're fired up to write amazing headlines at this point. Let's talk about some real do's and don'ts and get into some tools that you and I use and techniques that we've discovered that work pretty well. When it comes time to write a headline, in comparison to the amount of time that you spend writing your content, and this is totally an estimate, but what would you estimate would be the amount of time that you would spend writing a headline versus the amount of time you spend on the content?
I don't want to say they're equal. That's a terrible overestimate. But I mean, there is a lot of time spent on the headline. 20 to 30% of the total time is probably because it and it sneaks up on you, that time that you spend. If you're really fine tuning and finding the really precise exact words that you need. Not to say that the rest of your article doesn't, have that same energy and passion and focus. But you don't want to miss an opportunity to speak to who you need to speak to and really and hook them in so that they read the rest of your content.
Right. And that's such an important point. You don't want to leave this as, one final touch that you're going to put on your content. You want to really devote a lot of time and energy. Now, there are times that you come up with a headline. I mean, it's happened to me before that this headline has dropped out of nowhere into my brain. And I'm like, oh, I need to write that post. Like, you just get a headline almost like a gift, and then you write a post for it. And then there are other times that you spend so much time. You've got a great piece of content. Maybe you started out with one headline and you're not happy with it anymore, and you just find yourself generating all these different ideas until you come up with the one that works. But the one thing that I wanted to say is that if you spend a lot of time writing headlines, that time is not necessarily wasted, because we also encourage people to write subheads in their copy. And sometimes you come up with a headline that's okay, but maybe it's not the best one you came up with. But there might be a way to repurpose either the exact headline or some concepts from the headline in some of the subheads in your piece. So it's not time wasted. I think you can always put that content to good use. Now, are you a believer in writing the headline before the content? I know there are different schools of thought on that.
I am, at least, it's kind of like what you were just saying, at least a rough headline. It doesn't have to be the headline that you end up using, because new ideas could come up when you actually write the piece. It might go in a different direction. There are two questions that I always like to think about when I'm coming up with a rough headline. And the answers to those questions don't necessarily go in the headline, and usually they don't go in the headline, but it's a reference point where when you go through your article, when you're done writing, you can refer back to the answers to these questions to see, if the headline idea that you have really is spot on with what the content is. So these
okay,
questions.
Okay, and now I'm dying to hear these questions.
Yeah, I do. It's really just
they sound powerful.
And, sometimes the headline completely changes. But, yeah, I have to reveal what the questions are. I, if I have an idea for a content, just a rough idea, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to write this article, I ask myself, who am I talking to and how do I help them?
Oh, that's so great. So simple, but so great.
Really, really simple. And you can write out those questions without thinking in terms of a headline format at all. Just answer those questions. So they're kind of in your back pocket, and then you can go along and write your article and draft headline ideas. But, that's really, what it's about with content marketing. You're making these individual connections and you're helping people. To move them along, get them familiar with your business, show that you have a solution to, the issues and the problems that they're struggling with. So, so the words in those answers, again, don't necessarily go exactly in the headline, but they're your foundation to go back to.
I love that. So even if you don't write the headline first, if you at least have the answers to those questions, that's going to help you. I usually recommend people try, it's not always possible, but that they attempt at least to write a headline before they start writing. And the reason I do that is because I think it helps you to clarify your thinking about the topic you're about to write about. And I know that it has always helped me to come up with at least some good headline ideas before I start writing content, because what tends to happen is if I come up with a headline I'm really excited about, then I start to feel really enthusiastic about writing the piece of content. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to write this one, you know? So it can have that effect. When you come up with a really great headline, it can have that effect of just injecting a lot of energy into the content creation process. So I want to cover tools because people, I think, you know, it can be really helpful to have a set of tools that you just keep at hand when you're doing this work. And the tools that I use, I'd love to hear about yours. I use a very simple set of tools. I always have a thesaurus open when I'm writing headlines, because what I find, and I just use the one that's on my computer, but what I find is I tend to lean on certain words and I'll write all these different headline ideas. I'm generating lots of ideas to see if I can come up with something. And I tend to reuse the same words. And so they're, you know, it just starts to get boring. So I crack open my thesaurus because that helps me to look up words that are a slightly different take on the same concept. So I always have a thesaurus open. I always just have a blank text document open and I just write. I just write headlines. I write 10 headlines, 20 headlines, sometimes 30, 40, and 50 headlines. And then what I'll do is I start to bold the ones that look good. So I start to kind of make them look like a headline because I bold them. And that helps me to eliminate them. I go through and eventually, sometimes you take a word from one and you add it into another. And eventually I go through that process and I come out with some kind of a winner. And then you and I have some online tools, but I want to hear, do you use any tools that are different or do you do anything different?
No, my process is really similar to yours. And I think it's important to note that just write down every idea, even if it's one word different from the last one that you wrote. Having them all mapped out is how you get to, you know, no one's going to see that. Right. But it helps the process. It's all about the process of fine tuning and finding, you know, your best solution when you're looking for a headline. So yeah, no, mine is really similar. I love pen and paper. So I will often, I'll do that in a blank Google Doc. I'm a fan of Google Docs. So yeah, my process sounds very similar to yours. The only thing, yeah, different is I have lots of notebooks where I might just start writing them out. Sometimes I just like the way it feels to write them out, or like I can see something in my own handwriting that sometimes I don't recognize on a computer, or I'm waking up in the middle of the night for it and I don't want to open my computer. So, but no, very similar. There was a comment in a blog post on Copyblogger. It was an infographic we did called Explore the Content Editor Cosmos. And the headline was longer than that, but that's enough for anyone who's listening who wants to go look it up. And the first point in the infographic was about headlines. So I guess, but there was a comment in that post about what do you do when you're stuck for the right word? And that's exactly what I said. Just write out every idea that you have, no matter, you know, if you think it's kind of dumb or silly or it won't work. Just having it out there for you to look at is all part of the process.
Okay, so let's talk about tools, because one of the tools that we want to share with people that we've been using lately actually forces you to do that. It forces you to just write a lot of headlines. We discovered this tool because Damien Farnworth put together a post for Copyblogger, and he mentioned this tool, and he mentioned the next one we're going to share as well. So the first one is the CoSchedule Headline Analyzer tool. What I love about this tool is that it's almost like a gamification of the headline writing process, because you write a headline, you plug it in, and you hit return, and it basically analyzes your headline using a variety of different concepts that make a headline better and stronger? How long is it? What is the makeup of the words you've used? The general concept. I mean, it's looking at all of these different things, and then it gives you a grade. And then it's like, I want to get a higher grade. So I'm going to keep writing headlines until I get one that gets the highest grade I can possibly get. It's amazing. We've had so much fun using that tool. And then there's this second tool that we also use to sort of double check the quality of the headline, the emotional quality. It's the Advanced Marketing Institute Emotional Marketing Value Headline Analyzer. It's a super long name,
but we
will put all the links in the show notes for it, this episode, but that one is great. What I tend to do is I'll come up with something I'm happy with on the co-schedule tool, and then I'll take it over to this Advanced Marketing Institute Emotional Marketing Value Headline Analyzer, and then I test that. And it will tell you, like, compared to talented professional copywriters, your headline ranks this, you know? And so you can see if it's kind of a boring headline, it's not going to get a very large percentage. They do theirs with a percentage grade. And then if it is a good one, it will get a high number. So it's another way to kind of gamify this headline writing system. But honestly, even if you don't use either of those tools, what they do so well is they kind of force you to just keep coming up with headline ideas. And that's really the trick behind headlines, is to just come up with a bunch of them until you finally get a good one. I don't know about you, Stephanie, but what I find is when I start writing headlines, my first ideas are terrible. They're just, they're really cliched, and it's the same thing any creative work I do, even artwork that I do or design work. My first ideas tend to be the most obvious cliches that are kind of at the surface of your brain. And I always feel like you have to get those ideas out of your system because you have to kind of unplug your brain and get the good ideas, which are, you know, they're more at the back. They're kind of hiding, but you have to unplug your brain and get the stupid stuff out first so that you can get to the good stuff that's behind. So to me, that's what these tools do, is they just give you a place where you can get the dumb stuff out of the way first, and then you can get to the good stuff, which is a little more hidden maybe.
Yeah. Oh, I think I rarely use my first idea for a headline, but it helps shape what you're writing, which goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, I would joke, I'd be like, okay, this article is about how to edit. Like, that is so vague and not good and boring. But you know, if I wrote that down, say I was writing an article about editing and I just wrote how to edit, you know, if that was my first idea, I would just keep fleshing them out until I fine tune. Well, what am I really talking about? Well, who am I speaking to who would benefit from that? And keep asking myself those questions and fleshing out more ideas. And that silly, you know, first idea, how to edit, really is the base of what ends up turning into, you know, the more accurate headline that comes down the line. I was not interested in those two tools when we first discovered them from Damien's article. I came around. At first, I was just like, I don't want an algorithm telling me how good a headline is or not. I'm very human. Humans have a gut feeling, and humans have all of their knowledge, and I would rather not look at a tool. But the reason why I came around is because the reason that you just mentioned, Pamela, how it forces you to write a lot of headlines, which is just beneficial, even if you don't like an algorithm, you know, judging your headline for you. But also, it's nice to just have, with tools, you can't get carried away with, you know, them doing all the work for you or thinking that they're going to solve your problem. But having, you know, a point of reference, it's kind of almost like those questions that I talked about, who am I writing for and how do I help them? That, you know, that's not really, those answers aren't going to go directly in the headline. But when you have that as a reference point, you know, like, does my article and my headline answer those questions clearly? You know, do I need to fine tune what I'm writing? The tools are very similar in a way. It gives you another opinion. It forces you to work a little bit harder if you don't like your score. Pamela and I are I just mentioned you, but I'm talking to you. We go over, we have lots of conversations, but sometimes if you're creating content, you don't have someone to bounce ideas off of the way that we do. So having these tools are kind of like your coworker.
Yes. It's like having another opinion. And both of those pages have lots of headline tips on them. So it's, if you're feeling kind of stuck and you're not remembering what you need to be taking into account when you write a headline, they're just good pages to spend time on because they do have reminders about what really works. Now, I have to tell people, I could not have gotten to a point that I could even use those tools if I had not studied from cover to cover the Magnetic Headlines ebook that we give away free on my Copyblogger, and I will put a huge link to that in the show notes. That is really the starting point. So if you have not read and absorbed every word in that book, I would highly recommend that you start there before you try using any tools or even before you try generating lots of headline ideas. That ebook has incredibly solid guidance on what makes a good headline. And it has lots of ideas. So ideas mm-hmm. that you can use to kind of plug your headline concepts into and see what they do when you use the basic structures that are in that ebook. So Magnetic Headlines, I highly recommend that. And I'll put a link in the show notes, but you can find it on my.copyblogger.com. It's some of the free content that we give to anyone who registers on that site. So that is a great place to start. So you talked about the human element and kind of knowing when a headline is good. So how do you know? What is it that tells you that a headline is going to work? Like, let's just put all these tools aside and talk about what is that human feeling in your gut that tells you, oh, this headline's a good one?
Oh, wow. What a big question. I go back to those questions. I want to make sure, I always say lead with the most important information and lead with the benefit. That's in, you know, writing sentences, paragraphs, but it applies to headlines too. I feel like, I want, when I'm reading headlines on, I don't know, say Twitter, you know, if there's a benefit for what I'm looking for in a headline, I'm going to click. I love when I fall for a headline because it promises something that I want to know the answer to. So I keep that in mind when fine-tuning headlines or even writing my own headlines, if it's something that I've written, you know, leading with the benefit, you know, and there, I don't want to say like there's a formula. I'm anti-formula. And what's great about the Magnetic Headlines ebook, just to go back for a second, is you can absorb all that knowledge in that ebook that helps give you your own feeling for what's going to work and what's not going to work. If you know your audience, that is something to keep in mind as well. It all starts with the audience and who you're speaking to. So I think being specific and having a benefit for who you're talking to in the headline is going to produce that juicy headline where someone goes, oh my gosh, I need to know the answer to that. That's exactly what I'm trying to figure
right,
out.
Right. And I think that feeling of, you know, I need to know the answer to that. It mm-hmm. happens when your headline creates curiosity. So you are promising a benefit. You're making a big promise. But the other thing to keep in mind is you don't want to deliver on the promise right in the headline because the idea is that the delivery happens in the content, not in the headline. So I'll give you an example. You know, I'm writing a book about content marketing, and I'll give you an example from the book. A headline that says 3 simple strategies to earn your new kitten's unending devotion. That headline is always going to get a lot more clicks than a headline that says, make your new kitten love you with good food, fresh water, and a clean litter box. It's like, you're basically, you're delivering the benefit right in the headline, and you want to avoid doing that. You want to promise a benefit without necessarily delivering how that benefit is going to happen. Because that's the That is the leap that people will take. That is what will make them click. Because, you know, you're saying, oh, I want my kitten to, you know, give me unending devotion, because what cat gives any human unending devotion? So it's like this really juicy promise that you can't resist. So I think when you write headlines like that, keeping in mind that you're not necessarily delivering the benefit, but you are promising it, those are the ones that get the clicks.
I love that example. It's so perfect, because once you know, if you deliver the benefit in the headline, why would they click? It's giving away the farm.
Right.
Do people still say that? Is that
the movie? Oh, yeah. I think so. Yeah.
I feel like I say that too much. It's very cliche. Don't write that in the headline. But no, I love that example. Great, great distinction from what I said. Definitely.
Oh, great. Well, I want to thank you so much for being here for this episode. You and I geek out on headlines all the time. but I'm proud of the headlines we've come up for our copy blogger content. In some cases, I think we really transform the content by coming up with these amazing headlines. So it's one of the most fun parts of the job that you and I work on together. I just love it. So I'm really happy that you could join me for this episode.
Me too. Thank you for having me. And thank you everyone for listening. I hope you got some good tips for your own content.
I'm sure everyone did. So I will be back next week with more content marketing information for you. Every episode of Copyblogger FM has show notes, and this one has a lot of links to the tools and the resources that Stephanie and I mentioned. You can find them all at Copyblogger FM. Thank you, as always, for your time and attention. And now go forth and be excellent. See you next time.